Hello. Welcome to Refreshing Truth, the weekly podcast for River of Life Lutheran Church here in Goodyear, Arizona. My name is Pastor Lincoln Albrecht, and God's word for our consideration is from the book of Ephesians. We're wrapping up our look at this letter. Today we're reading from chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. This is God's word. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Throughout our time together in the book of Ephesians, Paul has reminded us of two important things. Firstly, the strength that we have in the Lord. And secondly, the struggle that we face in this world. Now, our text today kind of serves as a powerful capstone for this whole letter. Put on the full armor of God. But we might wonder, why do we need armor? Why do we still have to fight anymore? Didn't Jesus come to be our victor? Didn't he accomplish his mission? Didn't he conquer sin, death, and the devil in our stead? Why then do we need to dress for battle? Perhaps it is valuable if we understand what Christ has accomplished. You see, death serves as Satan's stronghold. When Jesus took on flesh and blood and died in our place, he conquered the devil's capital city. And because the capital city has fallen, the devil has no more power over us. But that doesn't mean that he's done fighting. He has been defeated, and he knows that. But he's a sore loser. He's angry, and he's still swinging. And Jesus understood that. See, Jesus understood exactly what his mission was, exactly what that would mean for us. And so when he spoke to his disciples, even though he knew he would defeat sin, death, and the devil, he still told us, "Do not suppose that I've come to bring peace to this earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword." See, in Matthew chapter 10, verse 34, Jesus is telling us there will be a struggle. And he goes on to say in verse 35, "I've come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household." You see, the struggle that we face is personal. And so maybe we shouldn't be surprised that immediately after Paul gives us God's direction on how husbands and wives ought to live and love, how parents are to raise their children, and how children are to respect and honor their parents, that Paul speaks of this daily struggle. What is our struggle? God tells us it's not against flesh and blood, but it's against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this sin-darkened world, and against the spiritual forces of evil. Do you know why he tells us this? It's because God wants us to understand exactly what we are up against and what these joined forces of evil are really trying to accomplish. We must understand that Christians cannot lose everything in an election cycle. But you and I will be defeated if we find our strength in anything other than the Lord's almighty power. So what exactly are we up against? Rulers, authorities, powers of this dark world, spiritual forces of evil. Just by the sheer volume of forces that Paul lists, we ought to realize that we're up against something significant, something well-organized, something that we ought to take seriously. But Paul also tells us that our struggle is not against flesh and blood. That might surprise us. Because so often it feels like we're struggling against other people. Maybe it's the people that we live with, the people that we work with, the people who stand against the truths of Scripture. We must understand that our struggle is not really against them. Yes, there are sinful people who, in their own way, are serving the devil's purposes, but sinners are not our enemy. The devil is. And his schemes are strategic. He's organized. He has rulers. He leverages authority. He wields power. He uses force. And the Apostle Paul is warning us that the devil has a plan. What exactly is that plan? Well, we gain a little bit of insight with Paul's organization. We must remember that only God is omnipresent. That means that he is everywhere. Satan and his demons, they are local beings. And so Satan must station his demons in different places like evil viceroys. Now that may sound silly to us who have adopted a Western way of thinking. But we must understand that the way that the demons rule in one place versus another is not always the same. In some times, in some places, demon possessions are frighteningly prevalent. And in others, their demonic presence is far more camouflaged. But it is no less dangerous. Our battle is against rulers. But our battle is also against the authorities. What authority does Satan have? Well, consider the cultural pressure that we face. We live in a society that admires the rich and famous, the bold and the beautiful, the intellectual and the thought-provoking, the flippant and the sarcastic. Where are these cultural leaders leading us? You don't have to look hard to figure out what the academic and entertainment communities want to see happen in our world. We face a constant pressure to be more tolerant of sin, to be more accepting of this idolatry, to adhere to that false teaching. Do you see how Satan slyly uses peer pressure? Think about all the changes that we've seen in our culture in just the past couple generations. Would your parents or grandparents ever have skipped church on a Sunday for a tea time or a t-ball game? Would they have ever displayed the disrespect that we see for authority figures almost daily? How about the disregard for human life that we see in abortion, the flouting of God's design for marriage, the prevalence of young people moving in together? While there is nothing new under the sun, all these cultural norms and many more suit Satan's sensibilities. Our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world. You see the power that sin has. The allure of all kinds of temptations exerts incredible power in this dark world. The spiritual forces of evil want to lead people to treat Scripture with a kind of puffed-up skepticism or avant-garde arrogance. We must understand that all of these are the kingdom of darkness's last-ditch attempts to wrest souls from the Almighty Lord. We face a struggle, and we need a strength that far surpasses what we can muster. We cannot root out these demonic rulers. We cannot change the culture because the culture is a collaboration of sinners. We can't eradicate the seductive power of sin. We can't stamp out the spiritual forces of evil which war against God's will and ways, but we are not called to do any of those things. We are called to put on the full armor of God and stand firm. To struggle, and after we have done everything, to stand firm. And these two directions sound very simple. Get ready for battle and stand firm. But it is a struggle. It is a struggle as we battle fatigue and complacency. And we must understand that Satan is scheming to get us to take off the armor of God or to sit on the spiritual sidelines. Now, why would we do either of those? It's not what God wants, it's what Satan wants, but sometimes in the moment, we feel like we've been struggling against Satan for far too long. And maybe you know the drill, advance, retreat, there are setbacks and stalemates in this spiritual battle, and it can be exhausting. And when you're exhausted, the last thing that you want to do is carry more weight, and maybe that is how you feel about the armor of God. When you were younger, you put on the full armor every day. You had kids to raise. You had a job to do. You were in the Word regularly. You were at church every Sunday. You were in Bible class most weeks. But now, you kind of want to retire from the fighting. You've been struggling for so long that there's a part of you that just wants to sit down, kick up your feet, and take off your armor. And you might wonder, haven't I fought the good fight long enough? For others of us, we don't battle fatigue as much as complacency. We haven't had as many struggles, but at times it kind of feels like this armor that God has provided us is not real suited for modern day battle. Sometimes it feels like it's holding us back. We don't like how it fits because we've got a million things to do, and it doesn't seem like this armor is helping us accomplish any of our dreams. And so we wonder, what do we need a righteousness for? Why do we need a sword of the Spirit? What good is the shield of faith? Can't we figure out things for ourselves? Can't we respond with our own intellect and wit and sense of humor? So we begin to think that daily devotions are something just for overachieving Christians, you know, the real professionals. We wonder, how can we have any success in this life if we have such intolerant views towards people? We wonder, what do I need the armor of God for? Now, in the moment, taking off our armor, taking a seat, doesn't seem like a big deal. It might even feel like a good idea. Necessary, even. But remember who celebrates this. It's Satan. He doesn't care if you're too tired to stand or too busy to put on the full armor of God. All he sees is easy pickings. A soldier without a helmet, a shield, or a sword sticks out on the battlefield. And it is at the very moment that we set aside the shield of faith that Satan will shoot his flaming arrows. The tragedies will come from out of nowhere and rattle us, that we won't be sure what's happening. But we are sure we don't want to be here and battling this, facing this struggle. And so we turn and run, and we trust in our own strength, our own speed, our own ability, our own wisdom to escape. But we can't outrun his flaming arrows. That never works. And God knows that. That's why he gives us his armor, his strength, his son, and his word. This is our strength for the struggle. And when we look at how God outfits us, we see his care and compassion, don't we? He says, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. During the struggle, it's God's truth that holds us together. It protects our most vulnerable parts. There are times where the devil thinks he's found a weak spot, but God's truth shuts down temptation so that we can reject his lies, so that we can recognize that God's unconditional love is no license to sin. We can rebuff his empty arguments and his pointed accusations. Yes, we know that we have fallen short of the glory of God. We have sinned and we deserve eternal destruction and damnation. But Christ died for my sins. Jesus took my place. He suffered for all my shameful acts. God knows my sins and loved me enough to pay the price for them and give me a righteousness that far surpasses my own. See, God also outfits us with the breastplate of righteousness. Christ's good deeds and his sacrificial death protect my heart. Every time I'm reminded of my insufficiency, I turn to the gospel. I look at Christ who lived and died for me and gave me a righteousness I could never earn. And that is why I stand firm. That is why we stand firm together, because our feet are fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. We have peace because we know where we stand with God. See, it was very common in this day and age for warriors to stud their boots with nails, to kind of create a bit of a battle cleat, to give them a little extra traction out there in the field. So it is with us. The nails in Christ's feet and hands help us stand our ground. Because Christ died for us, we stand firm. When Jesus rose from the dead, what did he say to his disciples? He was not angry or embittered at them because he had to suffer and die for their sins. He said, "Peace be with you." His suffering and death did not diminish his love and commitment. If anything, it enlarged them. Because of the nails in his feet, we know that we have peace. We know where we stand, and so we stand firm. We are ready for Satan's assaults. We are ready for the devil's schemes, but not all of them are from short range. Sometimes things come out of nowhere. The pains and problems of life in this world, they can catch us by surprise, but they never catch God by surprise. This is why he gives us the shield of faith. Because the devil will use flaming arrows, things like sudden illness, job loss, family tragedy. He will use these things to try and destroy us, but they are all extinguished by the shield of faith. No matter what happens to us in this life, we know that by faith, God is with us. We trust that he is working out all things for our eternal good. And we are told that our eternal outcome has not changed, even if our current circumstances seem to be mutating or deteriorating. Our faith is devised specifically for this battle. Now, it was common in this day and age for warriors to take their shield and soak it in water to prepare for the battle. They were preparing themselves for the fiery projectiles of their enemy. God has done the same with our shield of faith. He has soaked our shields of faith in the waters of our baptism. There, in the waters of our baptism, we are assured that God loves us and he is committed to us. But God is not done equipping us for the battle. He gives us the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. This helmet allows us to peer over our large shields and see exactly what's coming. We don't have to cower behind our faith, but we stand firmly behind it. We face our attackers because we are confident that Christ has achieved our salvation. And when the enemy begins to breathe down our neck, we are armed for that too. The sword of the Spirit, God's word, is all we need. When the devil tries to jab us, we parry his attacks away with his word, with God's word. The devil, that lying accuser, cannot touch us. God tells us in his word that we are his, that he will never lose us. He assures us that no sin can bring us the joy, the contentment, the victory that life with God offers. Yes, we may struggle, but we remain confident that our Christ has conquered sin, death, and the devil. We may battle, but the war has been won by our King. As we put on the full armor of God, as we take our stand against the devil's schemes, we recognize it won't be easy. It is our struggle, but we find our strength in the Lord and in his mighty power. And we continue to stand firm until Christ calls us home or returns to this world for judgment day. We stand firm. Even as we struggle, our God invites us to pray, to place our worries, our fears, our doubts at his feet and trust in him above all things. And there are times where our struggle is more than we can imagine and it feels like more than we can bear, but we know where our strength is. We know that though devils all the world may fill, all eager to devour us, we tremble not, we fear no ill. They can't overpower us. Because for us fights the valiant one whom God himself elected. Jesus Christ, the Almighty Lord. There is no other God. He holds the field forever. He is our strength. He is the reason that we stand firm in the struggle. Amen.